All right, go back with me through 1 Samuel 25. It has been about 3 years since we've looked at this story, and we've looked at it a few other times over the last 18 years. 18 years last month. A wonderful story. Most of you know this. If there's someone in here who has not heard this, I envy you hearing this for the first time. But for the others, I pray that you will hear it as if it were the first time. David is the king. Nabal is a fool. Fool that doesn't know the king. And Abigail is the fool's wife, who does know the king. This is a beautiful picture, story of Christ the King. And Nabal represents the unbeliever, those who don't know Christ and don't care. And Abigail represents every believer to whom the Lord has made known Christ. All right, David is God's king. David and his men, he had 600 men at this time, as we saw. Quite a following. David and his men. David was God's elect. There was a usurper, you know, named Saul, but he was not God's king. David always was God's king and God's chosen, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called by name the Son of David. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of kings. In Psalm 2, it says, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Christ reigns over all the world, though the world does not yet acknowledge him. They will. But God's people do. They acknowledge him as king, reigning and ruling. And a wise man, a truly wise person, young or old, will fear the king and bow and believe the king and call upon him. Only a fool. Would ignore the king in whose hands his life is. All right, there's this fellow named Nabal, verse 2. His name means fool. As his wife said, so is he. Now, he was, it says in verse 2, a great man, meaning men thought he was great. The world thought he was great. Why? Because he had a bunch of sheep. Now, isn't that something? That doesn't make anybody great. Our Lord said, a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. Scripture says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better to be unknown by men and known by God. Better to be considered a nobody and a nothing by the world and be considered and called a saint by God, huh? Oh, no. This man was not great in God's eyes, but only in men. He was nothing. His name was Nabal, which means fool. Why was he a fool? What made him a fool? Because, number one, he had all his possessions, all his eggs in one basket, didn't he? His life did consist in the things which he owned. That was his life. And he took great pleasure and peace in those things. And he didn't fear the king. Number two, the reason he's a fool, he didn't fear the king. And as we all will see, what happens to fools like that? David was his king, though he didn't know him, wasn't it? He didn't know him. The Scripture says the fool hath said no God. Well, look at verse 3. He had a wife. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. Abigail. And it says she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. The man, though, he was churlish and evil in his doing. Churlish means you can't approach him, can't tell him anything. Rich men are like that. Rich men are like that. But anyway, his wife was Abigail, and it says she was a woman of good understanding. Now, she was not always a woman of good understanding, or she would not have married this man. Right? She married a fool, so what does that make her? A fool. A fool. And I thought about Eve in the garden. Though she was deceived, yet she was a rebel. She was a rebel, a willful, self-willed rebel against God. And we do what we want to do, don't we? We do what we want to do. And this woman married this man. And now the reason why Abigail has good understanding is this. She knows who God's king is. That makes her a woman of good understanding. God had revealed his king to her, evidently, hadn't it? Not Nabal. That makes her one of God's elect, doesn't it? You have I chosen, God said in Isaiah 43, that you might know and understand that I am he. This is a good understanding. A good understanding have all they that fear him. Psalm 111:10 said. And it says she has a beautiful countenance, as do all of God's people. I bet she didn't before she knew the true king. I thought about this, and you think about it. Look at the countenance of the people of the world. Look into their faces. And then look into the faces of God's people and tell me if you don't see a difference. Tell me if you don't see in their faces like the people saw in Moses' face when he came down, the reflected glory of God. He didn't know his face shone, but they did. And just as we see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, we can look at God's people whom he has revealed Christ to and in, and we see that same light on their faces. Every now and then, I can see it come on. And it's a wonderful thing. You see a face that's just, you know, no understanding and almost morose and then all of a sudden one day, it's like life has entered. And that's precisely what's happened. Well, she was a woman of good understanding and a beautiful countenance. And one thing, I don't want to leave here yet. One thing that makes her of a beautiful countenance and all of God's people beautiful of countenance is humility. Shamefacedness and sobriety. That's what God's women have and God's men. That's the beauty of holiness. That's what it causes, doesn't it? And the haughty looks of vain women today, worldly women today, are going to be brought low. God's determined it. God's purposed it. And He hates that. He hates that first and foremost of all things. Proverbs 6, a proud look. Well, look at the king's word sent to fools by his servants. Verses 4 and 5, David sent word by 10 young men to Nabal. Now, he didn't have to do this, did he? He didn't have to send word. He could have taken whatever he desired. He's king. And he could have just gone in and taken it. But he sent a message through 10 young men to this fool. And God Almighty, Brother Roy, has sent his men down through the ages. God Almighty has sent his word. Great has been the company that published it. A lot more than 10. But I can name at least 10 when I wrote them down. Moses, Joshua, Samuel. Well, these are good men, aren't they? David, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah. Surely they'll hear these men. These are good men. These aren't covetous men. These aren't evil men, are they? These are not takers. These are givers. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, what about the apostles? Good men, just like their Lord. Our Lord said, I'll give you pastors after my own heart. They won't be greedy dogs, merely barking dogs or sleeping dogs. They're men after my own heart. And they have you at heart. And what they do and what they all they do is preach the message to you. And they're a wall unto you. They're watchmen. Look at that in verse 5. It says, in verse 16, the shepherd said, these men were a wall unto us by night and day. God's men are faithful watchmen. You need to listen to them if they're warning you about something. Well, David sent out these young men in his name, and this is how you know, Brother Todd preached from this, from John 7. He said, that the man come in his own name, you know he's not from God. But that's who people receive him. They're fools, that's why. And they suffer fools gladly. But Christ said, I send you men in my name. They come in my name and they seek my glory. And that's how you'll know. That's how you know for sure. Well, verses 6 through 8. Now, the message was peace be unto you. When the Lord made his announcement through those angels on the mountain. Remember that on the hill to the shepherds. It was to the shepherd particularly. But it was an announcement to the world, was it not? Peace on earth. Peace is here. The Lord Jesus Christ centers only peace with God, who's angry. He's angry. Well, peace to you that live in prosperity. Verse 7, he said he sent word through these men of his. I've heard you have shearers. Now, thy shepherds that were with us say we hurt them not. Neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. You know, God is, his tender mercies, Scripture says, are over all his works, aren't they? He sends his rain on the just and the unjust. It's of the Lord's mercies that whoever's not consumed, it's of the Lord's mercies, isn't it? Huh? So what do we do? What is our reasonable service? What is all men's reasonable service? To give unto the Lord the glory. At the least, the glory due unto his name. Return a little bit unto him for the support of his people and especially his ministers. That's who David sent for that man to support. It's a reasonable service. And God's people know that it is, and they delight to do so. Not a fool. Not a fool. Well, verse 9, they were sent in David's name. When David's young men came, they spake to David, or to Nabal, according to all those words, in the name of David. You see, they came in David's name. And all they did was tell these men what David told them to tell them. And that's it. And it says they ceased. They rest. That was it. That was it. David said implicitly to these men, he said, you go and this is what you tell them. And that's what they told them. No more, no less. And they stopped. That's it. Maybe they saw it coming. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they saw on the face of a fool. You can read it in a fool's face, can't you? You ever talk to a fool? You can see it in his face. He's not listening to you. He's waiting on you to finish so he can tell you a thing or two. Right? Haven't you? You've talked to many fools about your God. And you've seen it in their countenance. They're not interested in your king. And they saw it in his face. Now, but that's all they said. Isn't this a good lesson to us about what to say to men? We're not to argue. We're not to keep casting pearls before swine. Go and say, thus saith the Lord. This is what the word of the Lord said. And rest. Cease. These men didn't beg these shepherds. These men didn't try to bribe these shepherds. Now, if you'll Mm-mm. These men didn't make any promises, were they? Just give what's reasonable, because the king has been taking care of you all this time, even though you didn't know it. And isn't that what we tell men? We don't go out and tell them how much God loves them. No. What we say is your reasonable service to this God in whose hands your breath is and all your way. God who's clothed you though you haven't known Him. The God who's fed you though you haven't acknowledged Him. The God who's had mercy upon you though you don't even care if He exists has spared you up to this day. Now, give Him His due. Give Him His due. Well, here's the fool's reply. Verse 10, who is David? I don't know your David. And who is this son of Jesse? Folks, I know that there are more so-called Christians today than ever in the history of this planet. I know that. But I think there are fewer. I really do. If you'll just stop, look, and listen very carefully and listen to the blasphemy that's on the tongues of men and women and young people. They don't know God and they don't know Christ. They really don't. They're not interested in the true God and His true Christ, are they? They don't need salvation because they're not sinners. They don't need mercy because they're not guilty, right? They don't need grace because they can get there themselves. Honestly, you know it's so, don't you? Just take a careful look, a glancing look. Who is this Son of God you're talking about? Nobody believes in Him. I sure don't. Nabal doesn't believe David. He doesn't believe David's his king, does he? Stay with me, okay? This message has a climax, and I didn't read it to you. Nabal doesn't believe David his king, does he? Nabal hasn't acknowledged David as his king, has he? Does that mean David can't be king? Does David have to wait on Nabal to say that he's accepted him as king? We'll see about that, won't we? None of these men said, David wants you to accept him as your personal king. Bull crap on that, and I hope this goes out on sermon audio. Bull crap, bull crap. I wish I could say it like I wanted to. I'm going to get just as crude as I can. Huh? Like David said, dancing before the ark, I'll be yet more vile to this God-dishonoring and Christ-dishonoring world. I don't care. Is God God because men let Him be God? That's blasphemy. Is Christ's blood ineffectual because men won't make it so? That's blasphemy. Anybody that says that is not of God and not a believer, and they're lost. And they're on their road to hell like this fool. Anybody that says those things, that Christ didn't save His people, that God's not reigning and ruling, the Holy Spirit can't have His way, is a fool and doesn't know God. And they do err not knowing the Scripture or the power of the God of the Bible. We're going to see, every knee will bow and every tongue is going to confess. Yes, they are, whether they like it or not. Here's salvation, Roy, to like it. And to start liking it now. God's going to make them bow. Say it. And God, in mercy and grace and love to you, His people, has chosen you that you might know Him and cause you to willingly bow the knee to His Son, to kiss the Son. Aren't we blessed? Didn't have to. We were fools, weren't we? Sons of Adam, just like Nabal, but God. Well, no, David's just a man. He really is. He's just a man, but he's still powerful, isn't he? How much more? David said, I'm going to wipe everybody out. I'm going to wipe them out. Every male, that is. That's why he said that. You know, God, I thought about this. I think about it all the time. Bodily functions, things like that are nothing to God. Fleshly beauty is nothing to God. God doesn't look at fleshly. It's nothing. It's all alike. It's flesh. It's filthy, sinful flesh. Doesn't matter how pretty it looks on the outside. It's filthy, sinful flesh to God. It's all like dung to God. You know that? Uh-huh. That's what Psalm 14 says. The Lord looked down and says, it altogether becomes stinking. Mm-hmm. The sun is not pure in His eyes. Shineth not. The moon, stars are not pure. He charges His angels with folly. That's the holy God of Scriptures that men don't know. You know Him, though, don't you? Blessed are you, John Bar Davis. Flesh and blood didn't reveal His God to you, but the Father which is in heaven. If you'll just admit what you are, He smells a sweet smelling savor. Oh my. How much more powerful is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? David's going down, going to wipe them out. Well, look at verse 11. And here's Nabal's answer. He's a free willer, you see. Isn't it? He's a free willer. He says, shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give them unto men that I don't know where they come from? You want me to take all that I have? Or part, not all. This man had 1,000. How many did he have? 1,000. 1,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. What was required of him? Not even 100. Not even 10%. Shall I take just a portion? He would have never missed any of it. He would have never missed it. Do you think the Lord would have recompensed him? Do you think, had he sent half of his goods down there, do you think the Lord would have recompensed him? Ask Job. Job had 10,000 when it was over. But he said, I've worked hard. I got all this. Shall I take what's mine, what I have earned, and give it to somebody I don't know? I don't know him. He knows you. Afar off. Isn't that what the Scripture says, John? God says, I knew them not. But yet He says, I knew them afar off. He knows all about them. See, David is observing him, Nancy, the whole time. His men are down there. That's what this whole story is about. David is observing. He's looking down and says, look at that. Whole valley full of sheep. Now, he could just take anything. It's his. He's king of Israel. This man's on his land. Jeanette, this man's on his land. A man thinks it's his, but it's not. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and the inhabitants thereof. He can take it any time. The Lord gave, the Lord take it away. And David's looking down on his land, which he's the sovereign of, governor over, and here's this man who's a trespasser. He could have just taken it without sending this message. It's not his. Nothing we have, folks, is ours. Nothing we have. What do we have that we have not received? Now, if we've received it, dare we glory as if we had not. Well, this fool goes on and says, I'm not going to do it. So David's young men, what did they do? David's men are just like David. You know what I'm saying? They're just like David. They're not weak men. We're going to see in the next chapter. You read it for Sunday, okay? Preparation for Sunday morning, we'll read the next chapter on a fellow named Abishai with David. He killed Goliath's brother single-handedly. David had several mighty men with him. They were, remember what they were like before they came to David? Huh? Down there in chapter 22, huh? Distressed, discontented, poor, and so forth. Remember that? Not anymore. They're like David. They're rich. They're strong. They're content. And so on. But anyway, these men are like David. And they don't ask this fool. They don't plead with him one word. It's okay. Okay. And they turn around and walk off. And I bet you every one of them are shaking their heads. Buddy, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know who you've just rejected. And you remember when our Lord told Paul the apostle, and told all the disciples, he said, you go and you preach. If they won't receive you, if the house is worthy, peace will be on that house. But if it's not, don't you dare beg them. Don't you do anything. Don't you turn around, you shake the dust off your clothing, and you come back. And I'll deal with them like Sodom and Gomorrah. So they turned around, came back. Got to hurry. Well, here's the king's command concerning fools. What's a king going to do with a fool? What should a king do with a fool like this? A king who he spared. A fool whom the king has spared and shown mercy to. Been so good to. What's he going to do? Gird on your sword. He tells his men who were once men, ambassadors of peace, he said, now, we're going to wipe them out. See, Catherine, this man represents Jesus Christ. Christ is called the Son of David. The true Christ of Scripture that most people don't know. They call him, you've heard this term, haven't you? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Haven't you? You've heard that many times. They don't know him. He was meek and lowly. We see Jesus, Scripture says, made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. That's why. Unto God. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to die. He said, no man taketh my life from me. He's still sovereign. Even hanging on that cross, apparently helpless. He's still sovereign. He's still controlling. He's still telling the soldier that nailed the nails to nail him. So his hands are nailed. Everything's still in them. Right? In chain. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And he came the first time. He said, I'm meek and lowly. Why? As a suffering substitute before God. To be our substitute. To be killed at the hands of men. As an offering to God. A peace offering. A substitute for God's people. And he paid that price. Scripture said. He was put in the grave. 3 days later. Oh, God wouldn't allow his Holy One to suffer corruption. Raise him out and put him on a throne where he's seated right now. Now how is it? Paul says, how is he now? I'm lifted up. Isaiah said, I saw him. His train filled the temple. And even the angels covered their faces before him. Men don't know him today, do they? They don't know him. They're still talking about some little Jesus, you know. He's not that way anymore. He says, here's his orders right now. His orders are pending. Gird on your sword. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Brother Stan? I'm just telling you what God's Word said. Got his sword strapped. Isaiah 63 says he's coming down and going to dye his garments red. The second time. Serious, isn't it? Nancy, isn't the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom? Kiss the Son. That's what Psalm 2 says. I've set my king. Kiss him, lest he be angry. And you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. But here's a blessed one. A fool's wife. She comes to the king. Oh my, doesn't the scripture say, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. Huh? blessed among women, blessed among men. If you know who Christ is and you come to Him asking mercy and grace. Verses 14 through 17, the young men told Abigail. You see, Juanita, you heard from a young man or an old preacher or somebody. One day you heard from a preacher of this great king who has been merciful and gracious, watched over you, and of his Christ who made peace by the blood of his cross for sinners, substitutes. So you heard this message from God's preacher. And God in mercy broke your proud heart and enlightened your darkness, gave you an understanding. You were formerly a fool. You didn't know God, didn't know Christ, didn't care. Right? Any other Abigails in here? Mary? God, rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved you, chose you in Christ. Chose you. Brought you to Christ, asking for mercy. So she came to David. It says in verse 18, she made haste. Did you notice how many times it said that? She made haste. This thing is urgent. When you do find out, when you really find out who God is, who Christ is, you won't wait for a convenient season. You'll run. You'll run. Won't you? See, he that believeth will make haste. That means you're in a hurry to get to him. And then it also says he that believeth will not make haste. Do you understand the difference? It means you're not in a hurry to do anything. You're going to wait on the Lord after He's spoken peace to you. And your strength is to sit still then. But your salvation is to run to Him. And that's what she did. She's in a hurry. She doesn't know if David's going to receive her, does she? Huh? Does she? She doesn't know if David's going to spare her. He doesn't have to. Well, how does she come to him? Verse 18, look at this. She took, in a hurry, she took 200 loaves, that is bread, wine, and shed blood. Ready dressed. Now, you know, we've looked at this nearly every way you can look at this. And really, Christ is all and in all of this. Abigail represents Christ here. Doesn't she? Who brought these things to God for us and interceded for us. And she represents the Holy Spirit too. But right here, she represents a sinner who comes by faith in Christ. What do we bring? Only what God is, just what God has provided. Bread, wine, Christ the Lamb, faith in Him, ready dressed. That means it's all prepared. Finished work of Christ. And it looked at corn, raisins, and figs. What's that? Fruit. Bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. It wasn't just doctrine. Her heart was prepared. She came to David with this blood, with this bread and wine and fruit. And verse 20. She rode on that ass and came down and met David, and behold, he was against her. That is in front of her. So what she did, verse 23, she saw David. Again, she hasted, and she lighted off the ass, and she fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet. Fell at his feet. Whenever we see the true Christ, the true King, that's how we'll approach Him. We're in a hurry to get to Him, but we still fear Him. And we bow at His feet. Not like Judas. Don't kiss His cheek, but kiss His feet. Like Mary. Like Abigail here. Bowed at His feet. I've told you about a young man I've been corresponding with who's been hearing the gospel, and at first he was a fool. He rejected it. Hands down, thumbs down. Hated it. But apparently God has broken his proud heart. It seems that way. I'm sure enjoying listening to him. He's off at college, writing me back, and every time he writes me, about all he can say to me is, I'm not worthy. He said this in a letter today. I'm not worthy to get within 10 feet of that church.
before, he thought, everybody in here is wrong, and you are too. And now he says, I am unworthy. I'm all wrong. Everything about me is wrong. My past is wrong. Well, I got good news for somebody like that. Don't you? Good news. You don't run into many like that. Well, you know, here's the point. David came out against her. If David is against her, how would you like to have the greatest king on earth against you? You ever had somebody against you? It's bad. It's a tough thing, isn't it? If God be against us. But now on the other hand, if God be for us, who can be against us? There he is. That's her hope. So she has a... She has nothing to do but to fall before him and ask him for mercy. I kind of think that she heard that he's merciful. If you just go to David, if you just ask him, I've heard that he won't turn anybody away. I believe she heard. I know she did. If she heard of David, she heard that, didn't she? She not only heard, Stephen, that David was the greatest king on earth, because she went on to say, did you hear her testimony? She kept saying, you are going to reign. You are going to rule. There's no doubt about it. Even though somebody's against you, it doesn't matter. The Lord's going to deal with him, and you're king. So, John, she was bound. She bound to have heard that David's merciful and tender and gracious and kind and loving and compassionate and receive anybody that come through God's name unto him. And so will our God. Anybody in Christ? Listen to her plea. And this is our prayer, and I got to hurry. Verse 23, she said, or verse 24, upon me. Lord, I'm to blame. And this is Christ, isn't it? Who took our sins upon himself. And this is the believer. We don't cast the blame on someone else when we come to God in repentance, do we? No, I'm the man. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. It's my fault. Verse 25, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard that fool that I'm married to. Oh my, his name's Nabal, and that's what he is. And verse 20 says, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth. Oh my. Lord, have mercy. My Lord, have mercy. In the name of thy Lord, have mercy. And this blessing, verse 27, she said, would you receive it? Let it be given to the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, verse 28, forgive me. The Lord will certainly make you a sure house. And I'm not going to read all this. You've already read it with me. She said, the Lord's going to take care of your enemies and you're going to reign and rule. And would you just, last line of verse 31, would you just remember thine handmaid? When you come into your kingdom, would you just remember me? Reckon he will? You reckon? I know he will. I know he will. And David granted her request, but much more. Well, what did David do with this? Well, look at verse 32. David said there, blessed be the Lord God that sent you to me. Why did you come to me for mercy? Because God sent you. Why does anyone ask God for mercy? God makes them to know their guilt. Why does anybody come to Christ only for as their mediator, their substitute, their intercessor, their sin offering? Why? Because God told them there's one way. And God said, I'll receive all that come unto me by him. Just him. And God will spare you, as the Lord kept David from killing her. Well, what did he do to this fool? Well, it says down in verse 36, Abigail, old Nabal was holding a feast, you know. He's
rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing. He's merry. He's drunk. Looking forward to tomorrow where he can count his sheep and his money. What a fool. This night is his soul required of him. And God killed him. First thing God did was turn his heart to stone. You read that with me, Melanie? Abigail's mother? Don't you hope that little girl is a true Abigail? First thing the Lord did to this fool was harden his heart. Didn't it? That's right. The Lord softens and the Lord hardens. How's that? By withholding this heart softening gospel. Well, Abigail's end. Look at the end of every sinner that comes to God by cry. Verse 39, when David heard that Nabal was dead, and he called upon the Lord, and he sent his men to talk to Abigail. He sent his men down to talk to Abigail and say, would you be interested? David sent us, and he's got a proposal of marriage. Would you be at all interested? Are you kidding? Would I? See, oh, my. And the servants of David came to her, and they said, David sent us to thee. Now, the first thing they said was, David, you may be his wife if it so pleases thee. And the next thing they said was, he's come to get you. See, it's both, isn't it? Aren't you glad it's both, Kelly? Huh? That he saves us against our will with our full consent. Makes us willing. Works in us both the will and do of his good pleasure. Long ago, he said, will you take this man? No, I will not. I'm not interested. But God breaks that old proud heart and causes you to see your ugliness and how your unworthiness and you don't deserve it. His mercy and his grace and his love and kindness to you. And Christ said, now, will you take this man as your... yes. Yes. 1,000 times yes. Well, he's come to get you. He's coming to get you. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for thee. If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. To do what? Marry you. Now, she was formerly married to a fool. Now, the King of Kings. How would you like to be married to David, ladies? You got one pretty close. Got one like him. But my advice to all you young ladies is you better wait around on David or you're a fool. They're out there. Just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He'll send you one. If you seek his face, he'll send you one. Yeah, he will. Well, and she came to him, verse 42, and 5 damsels with her. Those are those who wait on the church of Christ, on God's people, his angels that are given charge over us. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. And I just believe she lived from that day forward happily ever after, don't you? I know she did. Would you give me just 2 minutes? Would you go with me to 2 Samuel real quickly? Real quickly? You got to see this. See, David is not yet ascended to his throne. It's not all over. It's going to be. It's a sure ass. It's a sure ass. Whom having not seen you love, don't you? You believe he's reigning and ruling, don't you? He says he's coming back. He is. It's as good as done. It's good as done. Wait. Just a few short chapters. In just a few chapters, we're going to ascend with him. Look at chapter 2 of 2 Samuel. It says in verse, David came and said, shall I go up to Judah? The Lord said, verse 1, go up, ascend, This is your rightful throne. This is when David's coming into Judah. He's already king over Israel. No, he's coming into Judah first. And they're going to crown him king. And verse 2, so David went up. He ascended with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail, Nabal's wife. So he went up and he was seated on his throne, and all of Judah made him king or crowned him king. He already was. And Abigail was right by his side, reigning with him. Now, isn't that just wonderful? Okay. Stand with me and I'll dismiss you. Our God, we thank you for allowing us to hear this glorious message of thy glorious grace and thy glorious Son, Son of thy love, King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy of God to guilty sinners, the intercessor, mediator, the go-between, the substitute of guilty sinners, our wisdom, the wisdom of those who are foolish. We thank you, Lord, for revealing him to us and in us. And we wait that great day when you come to receive us unto yourself. And we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, reveal yourself to other fools, such as we were, children of wrath, even as others. Reveal yourself to others, and we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory. And it's in Christ's name we met here this evening. Amen. You're dismissed.
That is good.